worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Verses 1 through 11, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Father, we thank you once again for your word, and thank you for how that your word saves us, guides us, empowers us, heals us, and does so many other wonderful things. Thank you for the gift of your word and the power that rests in every single word, in all of your precious word, the Bible, the word of God. With every passing day, more and more, help us, Lord, to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us as well.
Father, we come to you today, and we're so thankful that we can approach your throne, and we know it's because of being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, your Son, dying on the cross for sinners like us. Thank you for that, Father. Father, we pray for the broadcast today that you'll give our listeners ears to hear what you have to say to them. May they have the strength and through your Spirit respond to what you say to them in a way that brings you much honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We are continuing our Ten Commandments project, and we continue to get in wonderful, outstanding speeches from different young persons. Sometimes we've shared recorded speeches, and sometimes we're able to have them live. Well, we're grateful to have a young man that's going to share his speech with us this morning, J.D. J.D. is the oldest son of Will and Mickey Addison of the broadcast airing the Addisons. J.D., how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well, very well. Thank you, J.D., for being on with us today. And you're going to share a speech that you wrote on the Ten Commandments as a part of this project. So we're grateful to have you. So I'm going to ask if you'll just go ahead and share your speech at this time.
Yes, sir. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1, God plainly lays out what we call the Ten Commandments. Although God wrote his law on stone tablets, we see all over Scripture how the Lord has written his law on our hearts. Jeremiah 31:33 says, "For this is the command that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." This fact is even restated in the New Testament in Hebrews 10:16. What does this mean? Well, it means that we all know right from wrong. Take, for example, the Ninth Commandment, bearing false witness, or as we call it today, lying. Lying is a horrible sin that breaks the relationship, disintegrates trust, etc. We must know that God sees lying about taking a cookie as bad as lying about whether you murdered someone or not. Lying is lying. There are no white lies to God. Speaking from experience, lying is not easy to stop on our own, but with God's help, we can. Let us remember that a lifestyle of lying is walking in darkness, and walking in darkness leads to hell. As John wrote in 1 John 1:6, he says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So let's all practice truth-telling and walking in the light.
All right. Thank you, JD. A beautiful speech, powerful speech. Thank you again for sharing that. And just a few questions I wanted to ask you. Did you mainly write that speech yourself?
Yes, sir. I mainly wrote it by myself, but there were a few times where I needed help. So I got some help from my mom when, there were scriptures I felt the Holy Spirit bringing back to me, but I didn't remember that exact passage. So I went to mom so she can help me get the exact scripture reference, so I wasn't just paraphrasing it, so I could actually quote the scripture. So I got help with that. And then we also had a little... My dad and a couple of men have a men's meeting that we are doing every Thursday. So I was drawing a little bit from that. We were learning about in 1 John walking in the light and not walking in darkness. So I got a little bit from that as well.
Well, that's great. That's great. Again, a beautiful speech, powerful speech as well. Now, how would you say writing this speech has encouraged you in your relationship with the Lord?
I think it's encouraged me with my relationship with the Lord, but it's also encouraged me to write more. Like, I knew I liked to write, but after writing this, I was kind of like, man, what's next? I want to write something else. Like, even last night, I asked my mom, I was like, hey, do you have anything else for me to write? Like, I really enjoyed drawing different scriptures and bringing them into this. And I really enjoyed it. Like, yeah, like I said yesterday, I was like, do you have anything else for me to write? Like, I think it's... showed me that I think I should write more often, more than I do.
I agree, JD. I think you should write more often, too. So that was great. You did a great job. Now, I want to throw out a challenge to you, JD. I want you to think about the possibility of writing speeches on some of the other commandments as well. And possibly, if you have time, I know you're busy these days, but it maybe come back and share if you write a speech on one or two or three of the other commandments, more, whatever, however you feel led of the Lord. But I do appreciate you taking the time to be a part of this project because, of course, you know, the project is a nice and a very fruitful project. But what we're accomplishing is much more important than the contest, because when you share your speech, like other young people have shared their speeches, a lot of people have been blessed and encouraged. And that's what it's about. We're called to be witnesses for Christ, and you're being a bright witness for the Lord as you share your speech. So, JD, again, thank you for sharing that powerful speech. And again, I want you to pray about the possibility of doing a few more speeches on some of the other commandments as well. Will you think about it?
Yes, sir.
Think about it and pray about it. Would you do that?
Yes, sir, definitely.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today, JD, okay?
Thank you for having me.
Again, thanks for being a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. And for all of our listeners, if you want more information about the Ten Commandments Project, simply email us at jparker@afa.net, and we'll be glad to send you information. We're encouraging and challenging you to prayerfully consider getting your children, grandchildren, children that you know, children of your church involved in the Ten Commandments Project. It's a great way to help really seriously disciple our children in a critical time in which our kids desperately need to know Jesus and need to know the Word of God as well. So if you'd like to get involved, again, email us at jparker@afa.net, and we'll be glad to get you more information about how you can plug children you know or your children into this project, the Ten Commandments Project. Hope that you will. Once again, jparker@afa.net. Well, for the balance of our broadcast, we're looking today at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And we'll be talking about staying close and walking in an intimate relationship with Christ. And this is something that every believer is called to. So it's important for us to both know how to do that and why it's important as well. So we pick up now as we look in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. Beginning at verse 38, again, we're looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Luke 10, starting at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had her sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Again, as I mentioned, we're looking today at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Now, that's a very short passage, just five short scriptures, but I want to help you to better understand that this short story within the life of Christ, this account of one little snapshot out of the life of Christ and some of his the people that he knew and cared about, loved as well, it's powerful and has a number of very important life lessons for every believer. I'm going to read the same passage again, and I want you to listen to the details of what God is saying to us, because there's a whole lot of wisdom, insight, and grace in these five few verses. Again, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" Again, verses 38 to 42, Luke chapter 10. And as we focus on some important truths and insights from this short account, this snapshot from the life of Christ and some of his friends and loved people that he loved and cared about, Mary and Martha were two sisters that knew the Lord and loved the Lord as well, and they were honored to have Christ in their home. But notice the two sisters, those sisters, very different in their approach of what takes place in this story. Well, Jesus and his disciples have come into their home, but notice Martha is doing the things that one might would expect. She's busy, probably cooking, cleaning, getting the house all set, again, with a house full of guests. But Mary is doing something very, very different. Notice what it specifically says in verse 39. It says, "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now, again, focus on that verse again, verse 39. "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Listen again, verse 39. "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." A very important truth I want to encourage and challenge every listener to consider is this. God calls every believer in the whole world to live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. Why is that important? Because that's one of the very important ways that we can both have the Spirit of God and the Word of God to both get our attention and to help us to really, really hear. On a number of occasions in Christ's ministry, he would make a statement, basically this statement where he'd say, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Why would Jesus say that? Because the reality is we live in a world full of noise and people are hearing many different things, but the most important thing that we need to hear every day is the Word of God, the voice of God. And when you hear the Word of God, you're hearing the voice of God, the guidance of God, the direction of God. How important it is that we learn to live in such a way that we're, you know, as a lifestyle, sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. That's so, so critical. Father, anoint our minds, ears, heart, and understanding with a fresh anointing so that we'll hear what you have to share with us today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. We'll be right back.
Last night put the heavy on me. Woke up and I'm feeling lonely. This world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up, some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough.
walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me when I'm beat down, broken. Hold my heart when it's split wide open. Turn these eyes to my soul protector and break the will of this born defector. 'Cause all I know, all I know, is you're my only hope.
Toby Mac, I Just Need You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. For the balance of the broadcast today, we're looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And, of course, this topic is about staying in close and intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think I can overemphasize how important it is that we live a lifestyle where we stay close to the Lord all the time. Again, stay close to the Lord all the time. As we looked at the passage in Luke chapter 10, verses, again, 38 to 42, as we were looking at that passage, we noticed that Mary and Martha were friends, and Jesus and his disciples came to visit in their home. And Martha is doing probably cleaning, cooking, all those sorts of things that a hostess often would be expected by many to do. But Mary is doing something very different. It doesn't appear that Mary is helping her sister Martha do any of these kinds of household things. It says in verse 39 once again, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Notice the next verse. It says, but Martha was distracted. Now keep in mind, from the world's perspective, the world probably would have said, their response to Mary would have been, Mary, you need to help your sister. However, the scripture very specifically says Martha was distracted. Notice that the passage goes on to explain. It says, referring to Martha, she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Again, these five short verses have some very important lessons for every believer to learn and draw from. We all live in a very, very busy world. Lots of things going on, lots of noise in our world. We hear many voices speaking to our lives all around us every day. We all have agendas that may be very full for different reasons. But the most important agenda is the Kingdom of God agenda. The agenda of what is God calling you to do? What is it that he wants you to do on a daily basis as a lifestyle and as a life calling as well? Do you know what God has called you and is calling you to do? Are you doing it? So one of the very important issues for every believer is to understand that a critically important and foundational part of our Christian life is learning to listen to God and to obey him. Learning to listen and obey. And so as we learn to have a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word and hearing his spirit, that's how we listen to God. And as we listen to him, our goal is to next do it. Remember, truth is always meant to be applied. God doesn't just speak to you for you to just have knowledge and insight. He wants you to take it and put it to use. Obey him. Follow him. That's what we're all called to do. So here again, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. Martha, again, verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted. What does it mean to be distracted? To be distracted is to be pulled away from what is more important, to be pulled away from the greatest priority. What is the greatest priority? Seeking first the kingdom of God. And how do we do that? One critically important way and part of doing that is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him and learning from him. So as a believer, we're all called to be students of God's word And as we read and meditate on the Word every day, that's one of the ways whereby we sit at the feet of Jesus, listen to Him, and learn from Him. We're hearing His voice. We're hearing the wisdom and the guidance of God from His Word. And our goal is, in turn, to take what we've heard and obey it, to hear and obey what God has called us to do. Early in the broadcast, we read from John chapter 2, and that too is a very interesting and a powerful account from the life of Christ in which the Lord Jesus and His disciples were invited to a wedding. Now, in that passage in John chapter 2, it specifically points out that the mother of Jesus was there. Now, it doesn't say that Jesus' mother was invited. Now, that doesn't mean she wasn't. But the passage specifically points out that she was there, but it makes a very important and clear point to let it be known that Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding. And I'll explain why that's very significant in just a few moments. But so Jesus' mother is at the wedding, and so are Jesus and His disciples. Well, at some point in time, a problem came up. At the wedding, they ran out of wine. Well, in that day and culture, that would be a great embarrassment and a real predicament for the bride and groom to run out of wine at their wedding. So it was a pretty serious problem, a cultural problem would be one way to put it, to deal with. Well, somehow or another, the mother of Jesus learns of the problem. Now, in no way does the scripture point out that Jesus' mother is in charge of the wedding or even helping with the wedding, but she learns about the problem. So she immediately goes to her son, Jesus. Now, yes, Jesus is her son, but Jesus is also God, and He's the Son of God, and He can do anything that He desires to do. Well, Jesus' mother approaches Him and lets Him know about the problem. Now, why does she do that? Well, keep in mind, Jesus is the earthly, she's the mother of Jesus. And she, along with Joseph, helped to raise Jesus. And one thing is true, Jesus used faith all of His life. Now, how do we know that? Well, we know that because for this truth that is very true in His life, Jesus always pleased the Father. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So apparently He pleased God all His life, so apparently He lived by faith all of His life. So it appears that Mary knew that even though Jesus was her son growing up, even as a child, Jesus solved problems, and Mary knew it. So when a problem comes up and Mary learns about it, what does Mary do? What she's probably done for many, many years, raising Jesus, she goes to Jesus. She approaches Him with the problem. They have no wine. Well, Jesus gives a response that some might would think sounds a little bit rude, but keep in mind, number one, it's a cultural issue. Remember, Jesus never did anything wrong, so He wouldn't be disrespectful to His mother either. And also notice, Jesus' mother doesn't react in any way as if she's offended at all. Her immediate reaction after what Jesus says to her is, whatever He says to you, do it. So it appears that His mother realized, my son's going to fix this problem. And Mary was right. Jesus fixes problems. Now, one very important truth about this whole passage in John chapter 2 is that someone was wise enough to invite Jesus to the wedding. Probably was the groom, but someone was wise enough to invite Jesus to the wedding. Why is that important? Because a truth that every one of us as believers needs to recognize is this. Through prayer, we invite Jesus into the challenges, the problems, the difficulties we run into life. Through prayer, we invite Jesus into the details of our lives. So when we pray, we're asking God, Lord, help me, give me guidance, wisdom, provision, work this out for me. Through prayer, we're inviting Jesus to come and help us with the challenges of life. That's one of the ways whereby we stay close to the Lord, and one of the ways whereby God is glorified through us. As we look to God and ask Him for His help and His grace and His hand to help us in time of need, you know, God is glad to do that. He's glad to flow through us and accomplish His will through us as we seek Him in prayer. So through prayer, we invite Jesus into the events of our lives. Well, the groom or someone invited Jesus to the wedding, and when a problem came up at the wedding, Jesus helped to fix and solve that important problem. But notice, again, the words of Jesus' mother are very, very important. Her words were, whatever he tells you to do, do it. In prayer, one of the ways whereby God often will answer our prayers is by giving us an assignment to do as a part of receiving the answer. Our job is to do what we're told. Our job is to obey the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's one of the ways whereby we stay in a close fellowship relationship with God. We hear His Word, we hear His Spirit, and we do what we're told. We're obedient to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Every believer is called to live a life of obedience. We're called to be hearers and doers of God's Word. So just as either the groom or someone was wise enough to invite Jesus to the wedding, you and I need to live a lifestyle of inviting Jesus into every area of our lives, asking for His help, His guidance, His grace, His strength in time of need. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us of being through prayer. We have the privilege of inviting you into the challenges, into the events, the occurrences, the experiences of our lives. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Help us to be wise enough to live a lifestyle of inviting you through prayer into every part of our lives. Help us to know, Lord, that you answer prayer by your hand, the Holy Spirit. You answer prayer. Sometimes you use angels. You use whatever you choose to use, but thank you for the fact that you're a God that answers prayer. But help us to recognize, Lord, that you've commanded us, you told us in your word in Matthew 7, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. Father, empower us to be believers who are wise enough and bold enough and committed enough to live a faithful life of inviting you into every detail, every area of our lives. Anoint us with the spirit of worship, praise, thanksgiving, and prayer afresh. Empower us to recognize that that's how Christian kingdom warriors live, that we're continually praying. In fact, you told us in your word, pray without ceasing. More and more, teach us and empower us to live a lifestyle that does just that. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're looking at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And the passage in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, I would encourage you to go back and read that passage, then read it a second and a third time and meditate on it and listen to it, because God is clearly calling all of us to live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus. There we listen to Him, we learn from Him, we better understand what we're called to do individually and collectively. We better understand how to carry out the call of God on our lives as we live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus, sitting in His presence. And remember, when you open your Bible and spend time reading and meditating on Scripture, that's one of the ways whereby we sit at the feet of Jesus. When you spend time, really spend time praying and meditating and listening to God, that too is one of the ways whereby we sit at the feet of Jesus. And as we obey and live in obedience to what the Word of God and the Spirit of God is teaching us, that too is a means whereby we live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus. God has so much work to be done, but the truth be told, too many of His children just don't really listen. There are many things that God clearly calls the church to, that if we ask ourselves an honest question, am I really doing what God has called me to do? Many of us, if we're honest, we'd have to honestly say, no, not by a long shot. Again, every believer is called to be involved in the important work of being witnesses for Christ, living a lifestyle of evangelism and discipleship. We're called to be sharing the gospel as a lifestyle as believers. Are you doing that? We're called to live a lifestyle of making disciples, that is, encouraging others in their walk with the Lord, encouraging them to grow stronger in the Lord, encouraging them in their prayer life, in their study of the Word of God. Ask yourself the question, am I doing that? Am I encouraging my husband or my wife in their spiritual growth? Am I encouraging and guiding my children in their spiritual growth? Am I encouraging and guiding my brothers, my sisters, my co-workers, my friends? Am I encouraging them in their walk with the Lord? And it's very important to be honest with ourselves. And too often we'd have to say, if we're honest, I'm not really doing that like I should. How important it is that we decide, Lord, I repent. Forgive me for my shortcoming. Help me, Lord, to be about your business as a lifestyle each and every day. How important it is that we understand all of us are called to live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Him, learning from Him, learning what we're called to do, and choosing to do it. We're called to listen and obey every single day. So I would encourage you to take time to go back and read over both of those passages. Again, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And when you've read it, go back and read it again and again. Meditate on it, because there's much insight, much wisdom and grace God has to teach you. And then John chapter 2, the same thing. Go back and read it as well. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Read and meditate on it over and over again. God will speak mightily to you through it as well. You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We look at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. We'll be right back.
Hungry, I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I'll wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living. Broken, I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. Oh, I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living. Falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
The music of Mercy Me with Hungry. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And one might ask, well, again, Mary, again, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, listening to his word, while Martha was, as the scripture points out in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, it points out that Martha was distracted. She was pulled away from the more important thing. By no means is it saying that you never cook and clean up and do those sorts of things. All of those important things, obviously. But the high priority of our life is to be God and our relationship with Him and walking in close fellowship with Him. That's a calling for every believer in every setting. So you may ask, well, what was the fruit of Mary living and having a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus? Well, let's consider it. In John chapter 12, it says, verse 1, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Verses 1 through 3, John chapter 12. Notice what happens. Here, Mary, when Jesus is in their home once again, she breaks a pound of very costly, very expensive oil of spikenard, and she anoints the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, why did she do that? Amongst other things, keep in mind, Mary was preparing Jesus' body for burial. Now, of all the disciples, all the followers of Christ, it only appears that Mary has grasped the truth that Jesus is going to die. He's going to die for them. How did Mary grasp that when so many others missed it? Well, see, when we stay in close fellowship with Jesus, when we live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus, we learn things, we understand things that other people miss. Why? Because when you're sitting at the feet of Jesus, when you're living in close fellowship with him, you're in the greatest school there is, the school of the presence of Jesus. And we live in the presence of Jesus, God will speak to us, he'll teach us, and he'll help us to discern what he's calling us to do, and he'll use us to get it done. Now, also there are many scholars who actually believe this same Mary is Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene, of course, is the first person to carry the news, he is risen. And notice, sadly, the disciples were fearful and kind of going in other directions by and large. But Mary was at the tomb. She was in the right place at the right time. How is it that she was there? She had been sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him and learning from him. Remember this, all of us are called to live in a close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where we learn, we receive our marching orders from the Spirit of God. We discern what God is calling us to do. And we can in turn carry out that work and be used mightily of the Lord. We're all called to have a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. We're all busy, but we're all called to stay close. We're all called to stay close. In the Gospel of John chapter 21, a final passage we'd like to look at here. And this passage too deals largely with staying in close fellowship relationship with the Lord. Keep in mind another Bible individual that is a powerful a role model for us to learn many important truths about staying close to the Lord with is, in addition to Mary, the Apostle John as well. John chapter 21 shares these words. John 21, starting at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren, that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Verses 1 through 25, all of John chapter 21. Let me say to every listener, John chapter 21 is a powerful and a unique chapter in all of the Word of God. It's the only gospel that shares this particular account of these events in the life of Jesus per se. And the chapter has many important topics, but amongst others, one of the very important topics of this chapter is staying close to Jesus and following him. It's staying close to Jesus and following him. The chapter opens up where the disciples have decided to go fishing. Guess they're hungry. They go fishing, fish all night, don't catch a thing. The next morning, someone on shore calls out to them, children, have you any food? And if you can picture the disciples' reaction, probably thinking to themselves, who is this calling us children? We're grown men. And also thinking, who is this telling us how to fish? Some of us are professional fishermen. We hadn't caught anything, but we're professionals. Well, their response was, no, they hadn't caught anything. That person on shore tells them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And so they're probably thinking to themselves, we still don't know who this is, and we still don't know why he's calling us children, but hey, we hadn't caught anything, might as well try. They tossed the net in at the direction of the person on the shore, and it says, and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. They caught so many fish that they were not able to draw it in. There were so many fish. All of a sudden, they begin to realize, that is the Lord Jesus. The person giving them direction who told them how to fish, that is the Lord Jesus. They might have had memories of an event, an instance where something like this happened years earlier. As Jesus directed Peter to fish in a certain place, a certain way, and he caught a boatload of fish before as well. So when they followed Jesus' direction about fishing, they caught lots and lots of fish. And then when they arrive at shore, even bringing the fish, they don't even need them. Why? Jesus has already cooked breakfast, and it's all ready. So the hunger they were apparently experiencing at the beginning, again, they had it satisfied as they ate the breakfast that Jesus prepared, probably the best fish dinner they've ever had. You might say, well, can Jesus cook? Well, Jesus can cook better than anybody else in the world. Well, and so as we conclude, I would challenge you to go back and read John 21. Notice in the latter part of the chapter, you see where John is staying close to Jesus. And even when he has a special conversation with Peter, John is just a few feet away. He's staying close because John was another person in Scripture who lived a lifestyle of staying close to Jesus. He was the only man of the 12 apostles who was at the cross with Jesus as well. He chose to stay close. May we all live a lifestyle every day of staying close. Notice the message of John 21, follow me. That's the message Jesus says to all of us, follow me. In other words, stay close and follow Jesus. If you're listening and you've never made the all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. I invite you to pray this prayer with me. If you'd like to give your heart and life to the Lord or recommit your heart, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much. You came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and I've done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me for all the wrong I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, if you would please do, get in touch with us. We'd really like to be in touch with you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We definitely would like to share some resources to help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope to hear from you. Again, jparker@afa.net. If you're also wanting information about the Ten Commandments Project, a bold discipleship project for young people and youth, please get in touch with us. We'd be glad to help you get that started in your family, in your home, in your community, in your church family. We hope we can do that. Again, jparker@afa.net. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Please pray much for the ministry of the American Family Association and for this broadcast. Be blessed.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.